Then they will cry out to Jehovah, but he will not hear them, and he will hide his face from them during the same time that the evil works afflict them. That's from Micah chapter 3, verse 4. In the version of Yours Truly from 2003, and that's our daily scripture for today, little children. This is February 19th, 2025, of the Common Era. We've been, or I have been, on holiday for, or on vacation, on not vacating the premises, but taking some relaxation for the past week. So it's been 1 week since the last video, and we've come down as far as the illustration of the crowning of Henry II. Now, Henry II, the saint, was crowned Holy Roman Emperor in 1014 CE. As we continue our study of the article, Joseph and On, by Yours Truly. As the last of the Ottonian dynasty, that is the dynasty of the Otto name, he was born, Henry was, May 6th, 973 CE. You notice that's the same number, 973, as the fifth year of Rehoboam in the BCE years, 973 BCE, when Shishak invaded and captured Jerusalem, in the fifth year of Rehoboam, 973 in the genealogy. Henry II was born in 973 of the Common Era, one day before Otto the First died. Otto the First is called Otto the Great. May 7th, Otto died in now 1007 CE. Henry II founded the Diocese of Bamberg. Well, why is that significant? Well, Solomon's Temple as complete in 1007 BCE is a mirror year to the Diocese of Bamberg for its founding. While the first temple's founding by Solomon in 1014 BCE mirrors the crowning of Henry II. We just saw 1014 of the Common Era. Solomon's Temple, founded in 1014 BCE, the mirror date. The mirror is again the Common Era, or the turn of the Common Era. That's the place where 1 BCE is preceding by only 1 year, the year 1 of the Common Era, so that, and there's no year 0, so it goes 1 BCE and then 1 CE. That's the turn of the Common Era, where it changed from before to after. The mirror is again the Common Era. Ethelred the Unready was king of the English, 978 to 1013, and 1014 to 1016 CE. Now, those dates, amazingly, Solomon of Israel ruled until 978 BCE, and he founded the temple in 1014 BCE on the other side. In our later articles, we say 977 is year 1 of Rehoboam. So 977 is pretty close to 978, isn't it? I think it is. It's only 1 year at the most. And he founded the temple, Solomon did, in 1014 BCE on the other side. That date didn't change in our genealogy. The 978 changed to 977, but we can sort of say that's still remarkable correspondence there, that 978 to 1013 and 1014 to 1016 was when Ethelred the Unready ruled in the Common Era on the you know, after the Common Era had begun, where Solomon was doing something important, founding the temple on the before the Common Era side, on the side of the Common Era BCE. The thing is, the information used in compiling these mirror dates that is the information used in obtaining the dates of Solomon and all these things. They were written, anything before the Common Era that we have in our chronology that nobody else has, because they're too far. If it's older than, let's say, 500 or 600 BC, then those dates are not as well known. And our chronology, our genealogy, gives dates that are unique to us. So that these are dates that we wrote or compiled before we ever looked at any mirror dates. Only a few have this chronology that we call the genealogy. Very few people have that understanding. If they've read our articles, then they might have it. Nobody else has it. The thing is, it also, you know, that's just sort of a note added that only a few people know about our chronology anyway. But our chronology was written without any regard for a mirror and, you know, reflecting the dates in the turn of the Common Era, that before and after would be mirrors of each other. We never thought of that while we were doing any of the work. And one can only wonder how clear the mirror might have been in some other case. Maybe if we'd found different dates. We can't change our dates because they are self-consistent. We don't have any desire either to change them because they fit all of the known facts, all of the known, what do you want to call it, all the known history, all the known evidence about what happened in the past. All those things are accommodated in our chronology. That's why we can't change it very easily. In any case, the mirror informs our views of the matter. This is a fascinating thing. Yeah, I can't really explain why did I even think of the idea of mirroring the dates. I don't really know. I guess just to simplify, if we could find a mirror date. Well, I noticed that the 1493 was the mirror date to Columbus, except 1 year different. But then I also realized later that 1493, the next year that Columbus came on his second expedition, that was 1 year after the date when he discovered America. So that was still a mirror exact date. 1493, when he began to populate the West Indies. So hopefully, the mirror informs our views of the matter and allows for the illumination of further details. So that was just one example, right? That amazing thing. But there were so many things about the dates. In the Jewish calendar, the Exodus date is 2268, or very close to that number. In our, if you translate the number 1493 BCE into the Jewish calendar, it becomes 2268 in the Jewish calendar. And that just happens to be a very important number in our chronology, 2268, for other reasons, completely unrelated reasons. So how many things can there be about our chronology that are interesting? Well, maybe we're going to find out some more. In Germany, the Diocese of Bamberg still exists today. Just a side note here, as an archdiocese, rather than a diocese, since 1817 CE, right? We saw the 1820 was the date of the year of the U.S. slave trade law, 1820. So this is sometime, you know, in the vicinity of that, in the Common Era, 1817 CE. Now, let's begin our subsequent paragraph. So we've read about the crowning, and also we left off last week reading about Gregory, who was a great historian who wrote about the Merovingians. We don't even have to, I'm not prepared to say anything about that right now at all. But that's a very, very interesting thing, something I did write about and research prior to writing any of the articles of the genealogy. I was researching Merovingians, among other things. I don't want to get into that. I'm not prepared, right? But Gregory was this bishop of Tours who wrote the Merovingian history. He was well known for being an historian. And he died in 594 CE. Unfortunately, we don't have a common heir, or we don't have a mirror date for that 594, the date of death. In the BCE would be 594 BCE. We don't have anything happening in that year. In 597, we have Nebuchadnezzar capturing Jerusalem and the first exile of Jehovah's people in 597, just 3 years different from that. But not everything is perfect, apparently. But still, what remarkable parity and symmetry exists between dates and years on either side of the common era! Exclamation point. Since 1820 was found to be a significant date on both sides of that line, you know, we talked about the slave trade law and the fact that the slavery of Israel began in 1820 BCE in Egypt. What if we look at the number 1820? It is, okay, let's look at the number 1820. It is 2 times 2 times 5 times 13. Oh, times 7. Might as well put the 7 first in order of size. 2 times 2 times 5 times 7 times 13. These are all prime numbers. Each one of those is a prime number. When multiplied together, they give 1820. It's powerful, partly because it has the number 7 there, which is a divine factor. Divine number 7. From Jesus in 6 BCE. That date, 1820, in the common era, counting from 6 BCE, which was Jesus born late in that year, it's 1800 and, well, even if we just count it as 6, we'd say 1820 plus the 6 on the other side, when Jesus was born prior to the turn of the common era. But there's no year 0, so it's not really 6, it's only 5. So 1820 plus 5 is 1825. So is 1825 significant? In what way? Well, as a number factored into its prime numbers factors, it is 5 squared. Well, we could just call it 25, but 5 squared times 73 is 1825. Now that's the time from the birth of Jesus until 1820 of the Common Era, which is the year of the U.S. law on slave trade, 1820. But 1820 plus the 5 years prior to the turn of the Common Era when Jesus was born. At that point, 5 years before the turn of the Common Era. That's a total of 1825. From the birth of Jesus to the U.S. law on slave trade, 5 squared times 73. Then we have another illustration of Henry II being crowned as Holy Roman Empire. And I unfortunately didn't even notice that there were two illustrations there of Henry II. But, of course, he's called the second, so why couldn't there be two? Now, 73 is 37 with the digits reversed, right? The 3 comes after the 7 in 73, and the 3 comes before the 7 in 37. as we saw in that article, Joseph, ruler of Egypt, about that those numbers, we saw that. We haven't seen it if we haven't read that article yet. But it is in the article. And 37 is a number associated with Joseph. Why? Remember, he was 30 years old when he was appointed by Pharaoh as ruler of the second in command of all Egypt. That was from Genesis 41. The number 41 is seen to be a special number in at least some of our articles, too. We've seen that number 41 is special, but in our chronology, that is. But 41 of Genesis, verse 46, and Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. 30 years old, okay. So remember, there were going to be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. If you've read the thing about the dream, which is also here in Genesis 41, it's the same chapter. It talks about the dream that Pharaoh had and the idea, the interpretation of that, which was revealed by Jehovah through Joseph. Joseph revealing to Pharaoh that there would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. So after the age of 30, there were 7 years of plenty, and Joseph was 37 at the beginning of the famine. That was his age, 37, at the beginning of the famine. Also, 73 years elapsed from when Joseph stands before Pharaoh until the key year being 1850 BCE, mentioned in the articles Green and Joseph, and we can't deal with that too much. We can't talk about that because I'm not prepared, and it's, you'd have to read the whole article Green and the whole article Joseph to really see that, but perhaps you have read those. But that key year, 1850 BCE, is in those articles. It's something I have no idea how I arrived at it. It just manifested itself very clearly that that was an important and the important year in our chronology was 1850. Because for one thing, 3 times 1850 is 5550, the year of the creation of Adam in our chronology. And there were other reasons too, which we won't probably get into in this video, but there are 73 times 5 days in a year. 73 times 5 days in a year. I don't even know if I haven't even done that on the calculator. I know that so well, but 73, I guess it's right. 73 times 5, yeah. 73 times 5 is 365. Okay? That's the number of days in a year. And Egypt was an ancient civilization that used the 365-day year in their calendar. So Joseph knew that number 73. We may be sure. Yeah, I had a lot of insight. Not now. I don't have the same insights now exactly. But I can regain those insights by reading the articles Green and Joseph, but particularly the article Joseph, of course. That's where all these insights were gained, where I started to understand what Joseph must have known, or what he must have known with regard to the dating or the numbers of these dates and the things that were the relations between 1 year and another year in his lifetime. I got these insights, and I don't know, there's no way to prove any of it. I don't know any of it in terms of how to prove it. But yet, when I keep on finding out what the ramifications are of these things that I gained insight into, I find that they seem more and more true the more I look into it. That's all I really know about it. I don't really have this any deeper insight that I can share. other than what I've written in the article Joseph, for example. But and there may be some things that I just didn't have time to write down. Maybe, but I think I wrote down almost everything I could think of to explain it. But I write here that we may be sure that Joseph knew the number 73. That number, 73. You know, I don't know how I don't know how I can be sure that he knew that number 73. Well, what's the total of the number 30 plus 73? It's 103, isn't it? 30 and 73. So, if he stood before Pharaoh when he was 30, right, and then 73 years passed, he'd be 103 years old. And we know from the story that was related by Zechariah Sitchin from the Egyptian historians, as wild or crazy as the story is, Joseph was 103, or it was 3 years, or 1,000 days, that is, after he became 100 years old. So he was 100 years old plus 1,000 days, which is about 103. Very close to 103, because why? Well, 1,000 days divided by 365, the number of days in a year, is about 2.7 years, about 3 years, or 1,000 days. So Joseph was about 103, that means. When he completed the work that he began when he was 100, he was 103. So he'd know the number 73 because he started becoming the ruler of Egypt at the age of 30. It was 73 years later when he'd finished the work on the canal, or roughly at that time, within a year or so, he was finished that immense construction project on the waterways that included Joseph's Canal and Lake Moeris and the things that were construction or that consisted of some of the construction done under the rulership of Senusret II, the pharaoh whom we identify with Joseph also. Everything in the time period that we've identified as having to do with Joseph has a great correspondence with everything else that we know. It's amazing. It's so remarkable. Half of 73 is 36.5. Let's show that. 73 divided by 2. 36.5. Right? Okay. Now, 36.5, you know, it's near 37 as the first whole number above 36.5. 37 is the first whole number above 36.5. And also compare the number 365 with 36.5, which is exactly one-tenth of 365, right? Divide by 10, you move the decimal place. 365 divided by 10 is 36.5. Or, well, that's an obvious one, but if you haven't seen that, 36.5, multiply it out for yourself. Times 10, 36.5 times 10, 365. Okay, and also 365 divided by 10, if you're not familiar with the laws of mathematics, it works in both directions. 365 divided by 10 is 36.5. Works both ways. Joseph, as the ruler of Egypt and in charge of granaries, right? And remember, Osiris was the god of fertility in Egypt. So that fits also with Joseph perfectly. The identity of Joseph as Osiris. And I recently looked at the father of Geb. I'd never looked at that before. But Geb is identified by us as the father of Joseph, who was Jacob, because Geb is the father of Osiris. And we identified Osiris as Joseph and also the son of Osiris, Horus, we identified with Ephraim, the son of Joseph, who's going to be the younger, but also be the more prominent of the two sons of Joseph, according to the prophecy in Genesis 49, made by Jacob, the father of Joseph. Now, Jacob is Geb. The father of Osiris is Geb. And Jacob's the father of Joseph, so that fits. You know, Geb is Jacob. And Geb is an Egyptian god who married, he was married to Nyt, or Nut, N-Y-T, or Neat, it might be pronounced, who knows. But N-Y-T, the wife of Geb, is the one that we identified as, no, also the wife of Cronus is Rhea, and we identified her as Rachel. So this Nyt we identified as Rachel also, because we identified Cronus as Jacob as well in the Greek mythology. So Cronus, in fact, there were several Greek gods whom we identified with the family, or, you know, with Jacob and Joseph, essentially. Because there was Hyperion also, right? And he was the father of Helios. And those two we also identified with Jacob and Joseph. It all fit, and it still does fit. It all fits really well. But there are many different examples of gods that corresponded to Joseph and his father in the mythologies of Greece, Rome, and Egypt. But Joseph and Jacob was said to be, you know, that is, as Cronus, he's the god of agriculture, so that fits too. Jacob, the father of Joseph, was called the god of agriculture, and he was the one who brought all the flocks, and or he came to live in the Nile Delta and look after the flocks of Pharaoh as well. He came and brought his family, and they were shepherds and farmers. That was what the family of Jacob did. They were shepherds. So, and for him to be called the god of agriculture, it only fits because Joseph stored up the grain, and he was the son of Jacob, so it fits perfectly well for that reason. And because the storage of grain for 7 years had to last for 7 years of famine, and that would not be forgotten by the people of Egypt or anywhere in the vicinity who had known about this famine. So this, let's carry on. Let's see what else we can learn. Jehovah's name, or Joseph's name, means in Hebrew, Jehovah has added. That's what Joseph's name means. Jehovah has added. Jehovah has added. And that's connected to the way in which we thus interpret dates. For 1850 is one half of 3700. And 5550 is one and a half times 3700. This is useful when Adam being born. Let's just multiply that out. 3700 times one and a half, or 1.5, is 5550. Adam being born in 5550 BCE in the genealogy, or created, because he wasn't born, of course, he was created. There was no birth at that point of any man, because he was the first man. And the siege of Masada began in 73 times 77 years after that, actually. Not in that, but after 5550, by that much, by the amount of 73 times 77. 5550 minus 73 times 77 is minus 71, right? Or we should have done it the other way around, but that just takes us to the other side of the common era. So we do it the other way. 73 times 77, just to get the sign correct, minus 5550. And that's 71. But we'd have to add one more, because there's no year zero, once again. So it's 72, which is the beginning of Masada. The siege of Masada began either late 72, or some people, they're not sure when exactly. but that's one possible year when it began. It's within a year or so of that. That's one of the years they say when it began, 72. So exactly 73 times 77 years after the creation of Adam. And the birth of Noah was in the genealogy, 3882 BCE, 600 years before the flood, right, of 3282 BCE. And we also have 3882. We have to add, okay, we take the 73 again, times 77, and then subtract the 1740, which is the last year of the Habsburg dynasty, the end of the Habsburg dynasty, 1740, of the Common Era. You get 3882 on the other side of the Common Era. That's how much you'd have left over on the other side. 3881, but there's no zero year, so it's 3882 left over on the other side. That's the birth of Noah. The year 973 CE, containing a 73, again, that's the mirror date to the 50 year of Rehoboam, 973 BCE, but 973 CE marks the death of Otto the Great, who's called Otto the First. Plus, it marks the birth, also, as we already said, of Henry II the Saint. So we're just about done for today now. The number 73 contains the number 7, the number associated with divine purpose, both that of God and that of Satan. Yeah, that number 73, and so does 37 also. They both contain this divine number 7, right? Along with the digit 3 as well, they contain the digit 7, which is a divine number, a number associated with divine purpose. You'll see that in the book of Revelation, the seven eyes of God and things like that. You see this number 7 in the Bible. The seven heads of the wild beasts, right, with 10 horns and 7 heads. The wild beast and the image of the wild beast, things like that in the book of Revelation refer to the number 7. But it's not only a divine number from the standpoint of God, but also from the standpoint of Satan, and that's today's study. Concluded, I think I've had a wonderful time off. I don't think I'll be... I've written two songs, but without music, but with the words. I just don't know what's going to happen with that just yet. But I'm enjoying my time off. I think I'll take another week before we study again. It'll be another week at least, and then we'll see what happens after that. But February 19th, 2025 of the Common Era today, and it's 17 hours Canadian Eastern Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching, and on my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. And we just got to the paragraph where Attila the Hun is illustrated there. But that concludes today's video and the study of the article of Joseph and Ong for today.